Well, this is the name of the message. Happy, happy, happy. Okay? We can always increase in our happiness. Praise the Lord. You know, we have a famous song, "Where Do Those Happy People Come From?"
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. But have you ever noticed that sometimes people in the world seem happier than some Christians? Mm-hmm. Does anybody need a note paper? They didn't bring any paper. Anybody not bring any paper? You must have a happy pad.
Thank you.
To take your notes. In fact, I want each of you to take your happy pencil and happy eraser and happy stickers. Just go ahead and take some and pass them on.
Oops.
Of course, some of them are going to need to be sharpened. Anybody else need a happy pad? You need a happy pad? Because I'm sure there's going to be at least one happy thing you're going to have to write down. Do we need any more of these? Pass those.
Mike, do you have a pen? Okay.
You know, a lot of times we say happy birthday, happy Mother's Day. I don't know why, but somehow at Mother's Day, when people are saying happy Mother's Day, happy Mother's Day, all I kept hearing was happy, 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 happy. Okay, I gotta find out more about happy. Because some people are happier than others, and I just want you to know the reason I put that balloon there was for me. You all have these here, and John has one in the kitchen. If you go to the restroom, there's one in the restroom. But you know what? We all need to be reminded that we are supposed to be the happiest people on earth, is the book, the famous book written by an Armenian man. But as I posted on Facebook, I said, we're going to talk about how to have a happy Sunday, a happy Monday, a happy Tuesday, a happy Wednesday, a happy Thursday, and a happy Friday, and a happy Saturday. See, a lot of people, they get a mindset. Monday comes, it's not a happy. But Friday comes, and they get a little more happy. Mm-hmm. Depends on what your work schedule is. But really, happiness is a state. I saw this little saying, and I was thinking of Alaska when I thought about this, and it said a little cliche about happiness. It says that they were happy as a clam in the mud at high tide when it can't be dug up and eaten. You know, I've heard of happy as a clam, but I never got the whole happy, why the clam is so happy. But, you know, maybe you're happy as whatever because something didn't happen to you. You know, sometimes something that doesn't happen to you makes you happy, and things that do happen to you make you happy. But I was thinking about the inspirations that come from God. Because within every inspired thought, which happy was an inspired thought, every inspired thought from God comes with it a full creative way of thinking about something. And every one of you have a spirit. Whether you're born again or not, you have a spirit. And so your spirit can be inspired by God Almighty. He can inspire you to want to know Him. Or He can inspire you to do something new when you thought, I don't know what else to do. I don't know how to approach my business. I don't know how to approach my job where I can get through it happy. Some people think, and a lot of the research was very enlightening about men and women when it comes to happiness, even in retirement. Very, very, very enlightening. Even those that were single, those that are married, those that we're not married anymore, and how people fare, just everyday people in life, when it comes to being happy. But the word inspire was really interesting because it means to be influenced by God Almighty or a God. And when you're influenced by God Almighty, you're happy. But when you're influenced by another God, you're not happy. You're not. When the Apostle Paul was speaking to the church many times, he said, I stir you up by putting you in remembrance. And that word stir was a picture of a fire, like the fire, the wood in the fireplace, where the embers were there. Have you ever seen it? You that know how to, you know, you that camp and have fire, where you see the wood there, and you see the light in the wood, but it's not putting out a flame anymore. And so this is the word picture that Paul said. He was stirring them up. He was actually, isn't that what you do with a fire? You put some fuel on it and you blow on it and suddenly it gets a little brighter, and then with a little more fuel, it begins to flame again. And I believe that what God wants to deposit in everyone today is more fuel in your fire and then blow on it. So you really are having fun serving Jesus. It is fun to serve Jesus, wherever that may be. But it comes spiritually by putting people in remembrance, helping them to remember things. Or it could be just helping them to know something that maybe they didn't know anymore. I began to study the scriptures on every place I could find where it used the word happy in the King James. And what was really fascinating to me was that the word happy that's used mainly in the Old Testament was the Hebrew word asher. And it had a meaning that could be similar to the word barak, which is another Hebrew word, to mean blessed. Both of them, but one was an actual action and the other one was a state of being. Barak, which means to bend in the Hebrew, to bend to a God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. What you're saying is, soul, bend to God. Bend over your way of thinking to the way God thinks. And then everything else will be healed on the inside of you or outside of you. But asher was the state that comes from barach, from bending. It's an actual state of being happy. So anytime we are not happy, we are not bending to God and his way of looking at the situation and our life or anything. And I think that's exciting to know that he's given us a key. And you see it all throughout Genesis, Deuteronomy, when they were talking about I could just read story after. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Well, isn't that the truth? But how do you get wisdom? You've got to bend over to the God of wisdom to get the wisdom. But boy, you're happy when you get it, aren't you? When you figured out how to do something? A wife, it says, she is a tree of life to them, or the wisdom of God. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. Happy is everyone that retaineth her. Well, it's one thing to get wisdom. It's another thing to retain it, to keep it. But there's a promise, you'll be happy. Happy is the man that feareth always. What do you mean? That means reverence. Doesn't mean to be scared. But he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. This is a big one for those of you that want to know, what am I supposed to be doing in life? Where there is no vision, In other words, when you don't have a picture of the hope we talked about before, when you don't have a picture of what you're supposed to be doing right now, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish, which means to wander away. They just kind of wander in life. Do whatever this, you know, hang out here, do this. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. So here it is again. You got to bend over to God. If you know these things, happy are ye that do them. It didn't say if you just do these things, happy are you. It says if you know them. When you have an experience with God, you know him. If you just do something out of your head, you do not know him. It's just nothing more than rote religious rituals. Stand up, sit down, bend your knees. There's no relationship in that. It's just nothing but an outward act. If you be reproached, let me just give it to you straight, persecuted, for the name of Christ, happy are ye. I used to love the scripture in the 70s when I first came to Christ because I wanted to tell everybody about Jesus. And I realized not everybody necessarily wanted to hear about Jesus at the moment. But I went into this passage of scripture and I went, wait a minute. He says, I'm happy when I'm reproached. I'm happy. What does that mean? I'm in a good place if I'm the one being persecuted. The person that's persecuting is not in a good place, but I'm in a good place because I'm with God. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, that's the best place to be in life. I read this little article. I just want to read it to you because I thought this was very interesting. Not many people know how to smile right. We talk about smiling a lot. There are friendly smiles. There are killer smiles. I believe women smile. I didn't write this, okay? I believe women smile sweeter than men. Most women like to look at their faces whenever they have the opportunity. Before they leave the house, they spend a bit of time to touch up their faces. While doing so, they smile with their beautiful smile. This is really enlightening. Not man, who just wash and comb their hair and not bother so much to admire their look. Do you know all working ladies carry small cosmetic mirrors in their handbags? Besides the toiletry visits, where they smile while washing their hands, they also smile with their cosmetic mirrors whenever they can. I guess most ladies look, admire, and smile in front of mirrors more than 20 times a day. Whereas men are afraid to smile in front of themselves in a mirror. I don't believe, gentlemen, how often when we go to the public washrooms, we dare to smile while washing our hands. Most likely, they just wash their hands, have a quick stare at their own faces without a smile, and walk away. Perhaps they are afraid or dislike their own faces, but not women, because they do admire themselves with a proud smile each time they see their own faces. Smiling makes us happier, and smiling allows us to meet more people. If you don't like or afraid to smile, it's high time you learn how to smile. Stand in front of your home mirror. Smile until you know what smile is best for yourself. Man to man, smile is different from man to woman. Think about it. A friendly smile is different from a business smile. A naughty smile is different from a cheeky smile. A day smile is different from a night smile. Unless you have practiced sufficiently on smiling, you would not know what smile is your killer's smile. If one is not happy to smile, most likely that person is an unhappy person. The best smile is the smile that smiles from the heart. The heartfelt smile will make you healthier, lovelier, and most acceptable by everyone. So smile as much as possible. Don't be shy to even smile within yourself. I sincerely hope these words tickle your heart and mind to smile now, this very minute of time. You know, I bumped into reading just a quote some man from another nation wrote, and he said, this was his own thought, but I thought it was, there was a lot of truth in it. He said, the mind grows by taking in. The heart grows by giving out.
That's good.
So when you look in the mirror and you give out through a simple little smile, your heart is growing. If you just take in the knowledge of today, you get a big fat mind. But if you give out what you gain from today, you'll grow in your heart. And people will really like to be around you. The wise words of the Queen of Sheba to Solomon was really important, because we could say, well, it's God that makes me happy. And that is true. But the Queen of Sheba said something to Solomon that I think is very important for us to learn in 1 Kings 10:8. So open your Bibles. Because sometimes God is not always directly involved in your happiness. Many times he's using a person, just like the man in the video with the free hugs. And you saw the response of the people. Men and women responded to those free hugs. Okay, here she is talking to Solomon. She said, happy are thy men. And this is the word asher again, not Barak. Happy are thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore he made thee king to do judgment and justice. And then she gave him lots of money and presents. She was telling Solomon that we know many times was considered the man with the greatest wisdom that ever walked this earth. I bet he smiled. But notice how she said, all these people that served you, Solomon, were happy, that stood before you and they listened to your wisdom. They were happy people. You know, when you hear the wisdom of God, it helps you to be a happy person. But it was because of his love for Israel and his obedience to God that made him a man that could stand before humanity and cause happiness to come into their life. Think about this as you think about your life, as you think about your legacy that you want to leave your family, that you want to leave the business you've worked at, and your friends. Do you want to leave a legacy that your life brought happiness into their life? That when somebody sees you, you don't have to smile first. They are happy. They smile. They even said, I'll tell you, how far away you can actually spot a smile over other things on people's faces. They've done a lot of research on smiling. It's quite amazing. And have you ever wondered why you smile? Did you know it was actually put within us? Now I'm going to tell you two of my greatest times in smiling in my life. My first one was when I was being trained to be a cheerleader. It was a requirement. If you were not a smiling person, you would not have been picked to be a cheerleader. In fact, you had to smile constantly during your tryouts, so much so that they gave us a little secret. They said, just put some Vaseline on your teeth because your mouth dries out after you're in this constant smile, constantly smiling and smiling. Why? Because our faces were supposed to be projecting nothing but goodness, happiness, excitement, victory. So it was like smile. That was my first one. And I did become one because I guess I kept it on my face and practiced it and looked in the mirror to see how in the world did I look? Did I look like just a big plastic? Even though that one's really cute. You know, how did I look before people? The second time, now that one I did on my own because I was trained to do this. The second most powerful experience I ever had with smiling was when I was baptized with the Holy Spirit. I wanted God so in my life, so I wanted to live in His power. I wanted to know so much more about Him than just He's way up there. That when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I woke up in the middle of the night speaking in tongues. And I knew it was God, and I knew what I was saying. I was praising Him. How did I know? It was supernatural how He revealed it to me. But I was so happy. You would have thought I was trying out to be a cheerleader. My cheeks. Have you ever smiled so much that your cheeks hurt? I smiled all day long. I remember calling someone saying, oh my God! Yep, she's got it. What did I got? I really got the face of God is what I got. Because I really think religion has brought people up to think Jesus was. And I will beg to differ with you. He drew multitudes to Himself. And if you think He didn't smile at people and give of Himself, then religion has blinded you. And He was a man. Even though He might not have been, as Isaiah says, anything to really look at, according to my Hebrew teacher, we went through Isaiah 53, she said He was like nothing, a nobody. Nothing you'd want to look at. But something in Him drew people to Him. And I'm sure it's not just a plastic smile. I'm sure it was the real heart smile when He would look at people. I was up in Bakersfield several years ago, asked to come and minister. And I was told that this one woman that was there had lost her son in a tragic car accident a year before and was just suffering from so much depression. And as I was ministering, the Lord said, I'm going to set this woman free again because she totally stopped having any happiness in her life when that happened. Who knows what she thought about God? Who knows what she was taught about God to think, did He cause this? But when I prayed for this woman, the power of God came on her. She hit the floor hysterically laughing. I cannot even tell you how long. She laughed and she laughed and she laughed. Everybody was like in shock. They hadn't seen her laugh for a year. And I said, it's okay. it's okay, just leave her alone. She's making up for a lot of heartache because she didn't know that she could actually have that again. See, some people think something happens to them, they can never have that again. But I'm going to tell you, in Christ you can. Happiness. Smiles of happiness on your face. Because really, happiness can't just stay inside. I mean, sometimes you might like try to cover your face. Because you just are, you know, happiness on the way overflow is the laughing. But sometimes you can just have that really serene little happy face. But this is what the Lord wanted me to say to you all today on what this does for you. When you really yield over to the face of God that lives in your spirit, it will relieve you from the thought that you're in a battle. It actually relieves you that you are in a battle, and it's almost as though you have no care in the world. I want you to turn to somebody. I don't know how many people are here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 15. Okay. I want you to turn, if you came with somebody, like your spouse, you turn to them because maybe it's been a while. But I want you to turn, and I want you to smile at each other. I know some people are really uncomfortable, but I know by the end you're going to be really, really comfortable. A smile is a gift from God. It is a gift from God. You can actually know God is smiling on you. When we were praising the Lord, I saw the Spirit of God hovering, and it was just brilliant light because he really was smiling on our praises to him. You know, he's smiling that I have answered this call to go tomorrow to Alaska. Now I told John, you know, I'm going to miss you. I love being around John. We've had some really fun dates. I love it. But I know that he is sending me there because he told me there's a lot of people that need healing. There's a high suicide rate in Alaska. There's a lot going on in that state, even though, you know, they're rough and tough. And I'm excited to go bring California sunshine to them. I really am. In Psalm 31:16, I want you to look at it. And I know we have heard this in so many religious settings, but I believe you're going to have a great revelation of this passage of Scripture. And it's stated in many places, but in Psalm 31:6, David first said, "Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake." So first, number one, you can ask for God to smile on you. You can ask for him to show you how happy he is that you live. I don't know. I didn't read it all to find out what David was going through. Maybe he had blown it. You know, he did have some things that he fell in his life. He was considered a man after God's heart, but he wasn't always flawless in his life. But he did ask. So I just want you to know, you can ask God to shine upon you. And I'm going to explain what that means in a minute. In Numbers 6:25, you can look it up. It says, "The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Now, here is, you can actually deliver this to another person. You can actually pray, Lord, make your face shine on Henry today. Make your face shine on Rich. Make your face shine on John. Make your face shine on Patty and Yesenia and everybody else here. Let them see you're happy that they're here. And the next is in Psalm 80, verse 19. And this is what happened to that woman. Here's a cry. It says, turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. In other words, oh man, Lord, I used to be so happy. Did you know you all were when you were teeny tiny? Until you got interfered with? All of us were. I'm going to prove it because babies smile from birth. So if people aren't big at smiling, it's because something happened along the way. Something interfered with their happy. So isn't that good? You can ask for God to shine on you so you can know he's happy. I'll tell you, when you know God's happy, it doesn't matter if anybody else is not happy with you. You can declare it over somebody else. Maybe you've got family members or friends that you need to pray this for. Or maybe you need it restored. But I think that was awesome that God gave me those three really important truths. If a believer loses happiness, they lose God. And they lose the revelation, because the word shine in the Hebrew, make your face shine, guess what word it is, Patty? In Genesis, it said, and God said, let there be
light.
It's the word or. And it means that God took all the confusion that was in the world and he brought order to it. And when you bring order to something, you bring revelation to a person. So when God says, you can actually ask me to make my face shine on you, I can actually bring order where there has been some disorder in the place of happiness. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that exciting? Just look at the happy face. All right, here's the personal benefit of you smiling. This is just for your own personal benefit. This is years of research that I wanted to find out, because I figured people have researched this, and they have. Number one, smiling, even forcing yourself to smile. Now, this is important. Can lift your spirit. Even forcing yourself to smile. Now, this is important because some of you are, I don't really want to smile. But you make yourself, and it gets even better. The second truth is that it can boost your immune system because your body is more relaxed when you're smiling. Example, anybody ever lifted weights and somebody made them laugh? What happens to your body? It's like, whoa, you have a hard time holding those weights because you're in this really serious mode. So it relaxes you to smile. Next, it's contagious. In a study in Sweden, people had more difficulty frowning at smiling in pictures when they showed them to look at them. When I went to Turkey, we were going into these different really beautiful places. Or the Turks had built these amazing, I think it was the Topkapi Palace that we went in, and there was a soldier out like this. And who but Linda Zepp goes up to him, and she's doing everything she can to get this guy to smile or laugh. And I was like hysterical. But you know, in Christ we can, just like he touched that woman, in Christ we can help somebody that has just totally lost it in that ability to smile and have life again. Now, smiling relieves stress because your body releases endorphins, which are painkillers, and serotonins, even in a forced smile. So even if you don't feel like smiling and you force yourself to smile, you're releasing these things into your body. I don't know about any of you, but a good painkiller is really helpful. And I keep thinking of the time my little boy at 3 had the little pink nose and they're giving him the laughing gas. You know? He suddenly was like this. He didn't feel a thing.
Yeah.
When they worked on his teeth. It's easier to smile than it is to frown. Your body actually works harder to frown than it does to smile. Well, how many of you want to work any harder than you have to? I mean, just reasoning would make me want to smile more. It's also a universal sign of happiness. Think about it. Smiling is a universal sign. Smiles use from 5 to 53 muscles. That's why you have all kinds of smiles. Remember we talked about all the different kinds of smiles? All babies are born with the ability to smile, even blind babies. Think about that. Wow, now that's enlightening, because then it means that you don't even have to have somebody smile at you to make you smile. It's already been put within us by God Almighty. Smiles help you get promoted. Anybody want to get promoted here? Mm-hmm. They help you get promoted. Because they make you more attractive. They make you more sociable. And they make you more confident. But as we said in the beginning, if you don't know how to smile very good, you may make sure you've got the right smile that you're giving, the smile from your heart. Because if you try to give a canned smile, it gets exactly what you give out. Did you know that the martyrs during the time of Nero, when they were on the cross, they were being killed, they all had smiles on their faces? I like that one. And I thought about that. Okay, so God was shining on them and they're smiling, but guess what? That helped with the pain. They were so taken by the face and the glory of God in their lives that they could bear that kind of torment. Now, a lot of Christians, because they can have a tendency to sometimes to be negative, they might think, how in the world could I handle persecution if it really hit America? I'm here to tell you, if you know that God is shining on you, you'll be able to bear it. If you really know when Peter said, happy are ye, you'll be able to handle it. You'll be able to handle any kind of persecution that would come your way. Smiles are most easily recognized up to 300 feet away. So guess what? You can kind of know when somebody's coming at you, what's coming at you. Right, Rich? And if you're really good at understanding smiles, you'll know if it's a real one or not. I love the body language lady on O'Reilly. She'll sit and peel apart everybody. Oh, did you see that? Did you see that lip just curled up or that lip curled down? Because she knows whatever is really going on in here will show through your expressions. Women tend to smile more than men. Well, I think we kind of find out why. They take a lot of time practicing. And they make more eye contact, even in babyhood. And I was thinking about that. Okay, if this happened all the way to babyhood, what is it, Lord? And this came to me. don't have a scripture reference for it necessarily. But I think it's because man fell so deeply. He was the one told. And I tell you, when you're upset with yourself because you did something wrong as a man, you can be really hard on yourself. And I think that the depth of the fall of men was so severe because they were supposed to keep the lead. That's a part of man that needs to be recovered fully. Think about it. Just a thought. But I think there's some truth in that thought that I had for men. There are 19 types of smiles. Some are polite and some are sincere. Do you know the polite smile? Mm-hmm. Here's a fact, John. Smiling lowers your blood pressure. They said, if you want to prove this, you smile and then take your blood pressure and then smile for a little bit and then take it, even if it's forced. And then smile again and you're going to find your blood pressure goes down. Well, what does that tell you? Anybody have problems? You have to answer me. But anybody that has problems with their blood pressure and you want it to lower, smile. And find out why we are to smile, which I've been talking about. Smiling helps you stay positive. I'm going to let you all practice this right now. It helps you stay positive. If you tend to be negative, you're not smiling enough. And this is how you test it. I want you to smile. And while you're smiling, I want you to try to think of something negative. And keep the smile on your face. If you all want to close your eyes so nobody can see anybody else, that's fine. But I want you to try to think of something negative while you're smiling. It's very hard. Anybody try to do it? Do you see what's happening to you on the inside? I mean, you have to have the personal experience to go, whoa. Did everybody have an experience with that? Did they keep the smile on their face while they were trying to think of something negative?
But it was fake, like a fake smile.
Well, I don't care. You just want to keep it on your face. A smile is actually telling you life is good and God loves you. I think smiling's amazing. I thank God for my parents because when I was growing up, they made a decision to give all of their children braces because my teeth were really crooked and I didn't even have a smile that I liked. And so I know a lot of people are very self-conscious and I know that's why a lot of people do not smile. But you can be delivered from that as well. So anytime, I just keep thanking my parents for my $1,000 teeth. Back in those days, they cost $1,000. Because little did I know where I would be going in life. And I'm just grateful that they wanted me to be happy to smile. Because how many of you ever had braces? Anybody here ever had braces? Do you remember when they would go and they'd look in your mouth and they'd say, okay, bye. You're always smiling at the orthodontist. You know, they're always making sure everything, and they're making sure all the teeth are in place. Why? Because they want you to have a nice smile. I'm very grateful I gave it to our children and helped them. They have amazing smiles. You know, some people have really amazing smiles, and God will use them to be his face. Because every person is a different part of the body of Christ. But when you're a head, your face is seen a lot. Maybe you're the arms of God and you're not out in public as much. You still need to smile. But God does want a face that will radiate, that he loves them, right? That he's happy with them. Here are some ways that you can develop giving your smile away. See, it's one thing to be happy yourself, but we weren't left here for just for ourselves. I think of the passage I was talking to someone recently in John 17. Jesus said, "I don't pray that you be taken out of this world." Who knows the rest of the passage?
But that they would be strengthened.
But that you, John 17, write that down. You can go back and look at it. But that you would be kept from the evil one. Well, why would he want you kept from the evil one? Because if you're kept from the evil one, you'll want to keep smiling. You'll want to be happy. You will be happy. Okay, here are ways. Because when you smile, you're giving something of yourself away. And when you smile at people, you are giving worth to people. It's really interesting. There's certain cultures that smile less than others. They're brought up to smile less than others. But I like to walk by people, and it's really interesting. I usually offer the first smile, but it's really interesting who will give you one back and who won't give you one. But that doesn't make any difference to me. I'll still give people a smile. Even in the most, you don't really need to give a smile situation. Could be a really serious moment, like we went to a funeral. Very devastating thing happened to a family. I was given lots of smiles and other things away. So here's ways that you can actually be generous to people. Ways to get out, because a lot of Christians are like, well, you know, I'm struggling to preach the gospel. You are the witness. Yes, you need to know the Word of God. And we talked about that last time we were together, about studying the Word of God, but you want to give yourself away, and that's what I'm going to be doing when I go to Alaska. One is you can just smile at someone sincerely, even when you're on the phone. Did you know you can tell when somebody is smiling when you're on the phone with them? I want you to just say hello with a regular face, okay? Hello.
Hello.
When you're smiling, you can't do that. You have to have just a regular... To say hello.
Hello.
Now put a smile on your face and say hello.
Hello.
Try to do it with the other voice though.
Hello.
Hello.
It's hard, isn't it?
Hello.
Do you see? You automatically were made to give a nicer sound even in your voice when you smile. So give that away. Because your assignment is, I'm giving you 11 things to do in the next 11 days. Do one every day. So one is you're going to give a smile to somebody, even if you're on the phone with them. And if you're a business person, this will help your business. I know, because I've been in business for over 30 some years, and I have learned that if I am sincere with people on the phone, I don't ever even have to meet them face to face. They will want what I have just because I carry that through the telephone. That's why they hire certain people to answer phones for businesses. They put certain voices on phones, but you can actually listen to yourself, record yourself, and listen to how you sound. Second one is do a good deed for somebody. Just go do a good deed for somebody. I don't care if it's just opening the door for somebody. Just go do something good for somebody. And I'm not saying it has to be hours and hours. It could be let somebody go in front of you, or they put their little blinker on when you do on the freeway, and instead of playing the power struggle, let them go. You know, I've always found by little things like this that I always have people let me in.
That's right.
Or give me a parking spot.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because God sees it and he shines his face down on you. Number three, this is the third thing you're going to do in the next 11 days. Listen to people. Really listen to them and smile at them. You know what's really fun when you, a lot of times if you have a preacher in a service, when a preacher's preaching, they usually smile at them. You know why? They know what it's like to be on the other side. Vicki is such an encourager. She'll just sit there sometimes and give me the greatest smile, just cheering me on. Just her little face, and I know she's like there backing me up. Especially when I went to that Bible college and I spoke, and I had my little cheering section because they're like, I don't know what Lisa's got, you know, getting into. So we're gonna just be there and hi, you know, they don't have to say anything, just their little smiles are like, we're back, we're praying. Praise God. Number four, surprise someone by doing something nice. Just surprise them. Most people kind of know what you're going to do, but surprise them. But don't do it wanting a smile and an accolade back. Just do something nice. Do this because God's going to smile on you for doing it. And of course, let him be involved. He'll lead you. He'll inspire you on these things because he knows who needs it. Relieve, number five, relieve a burden by helping someone, whether it's do dishes, run an errand for them, just relieve somebody. Now, I'm not asking you to do all 11 of these in one day. You have 11 days to do them. Just one a day. One time a day that you're just doing something, not because you're getting paid. You're just doing something nice for people. Number six, be humble around people. What do I mean by that? I'm going to share a mayonnaise story. John and I were shopping for the groceries for tonight. And
don't embarrass me again.
I know, yeah. We're in the produce aisle, and I've got the grocery cart. He put a case of water in there, and I just didn't really think that there's a little more weight in there. And so, of course, he knows me. I'm always looking at people and pushing the little cart, and suddenly I just didn't see it there, this big case of mayonnaise. And I hit the mayonnaise. And it looked like a tower. I actually saw it go... And I went, in the produce aisle. And it was funny because, of course, I got everybody's attention. But it was funny because one woman, I heard her say, at least they're in plastic containers now. Which I had forgotten, and I'm thinking glass all over the place. But when you're humble, I didn't degrade myself. But when you're humble around people, you just remind them you're real. Like them. You have to deal with things. And I'm not saying get together and just sit and tear yourself apart. That's not the right way to do it. But just be transparent. And sometimes it just helps, especially if you're in a very cold situation with people. It's called breaking the ice. Ever heard that term?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's good to break the ice. John is a pro at breaking the ice, so to speak. He's very good at it. Number seven, look people in the eyes with a smile. I've been talking to the prayer group here on Wednesday about how they come across and looking at themselves. And I just realized, gosh, Lord, I know you taught me so many of these things when I was so young. that I really need to help people be more effective with themselves. It's not like I'm trying to make you a me or anything. I just let everybody go off into the bathrooms and have a little talkie with themselves. But look at people. When you talk to people and you look at them, look into their heart. If you really want to transfer something that's important to you and you want to get something across, don't look at them with the killer smile, though. That's pride. If you really want to get a point across, especially if it's a spouse, you can go a step further and take their hand. One thing that was really amazing when Miriam showed these photos from Iran, from her trip to Tehran recently, was there was one place where they had all of these etchings in stone, and it was men holding hands as they were walking. And she said, you know, what that depicted was not what we would think today of men. It was a picture, because back in those days, when a man would sit down with a man to talk, they would actually hold hands. It was a sign of agreement and fellowship. Do you see that nowadays?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody might think something strange, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there is something to the touch. Because one of the most powerful impacts for a person, even beyond a smile, is the touch. Because the touch actually transfers the presence of God to another person. I am doing that through speaking, but a lot of times people come forward for prayer because they want a touch of God. Especially if you've never known the Lord, and suddenly people are talking about how loving God is, and then you don't know, you've never had an experience. I've had people say, Lisa, I love your hugs. Well, let me tell you, I used to not be a good hugger or a receiver of a hug. I just wasn't sure I really wanted another woman to hug me. I just was honest. Until I got the God hugs. And it was more... The most powerful experience I ever had was when my son was going into kindergarten, and I really wanted to homeschool him. I just didn't want my kids to go into the big bad world, and I was afraid. And I remember going forward all dressed up. I knew how to dress. I was all dressed up, composed. I go forward, and they said, well, what's your prayer request? And I go, and I started sobbing all over the minister's shoulder, and they just wrapped their arms around me. And instantly, I was transported to heaven. And I was sitting on Jesus' lap, and he was holding me, saying, it will be okay. Even though I knew in my natural mind that there was a human being involved, I was not there. And I went, wow, it's going to be okay. And I've had... the commitment that I'm willing to do whatever God has. I'll be his arms if he needs it. And I remember one woman, I was in a church, and I knew the lifestyle she lived was not the best. And the pastor's like, Lisa, watch out. I said, I already know. Don't worry about it. And the person was slobbering on my shoulder. Well, you know, if I can just do it for one other person to help them be free. Like, I was helped. I'll do that. But we live in an hour where so many tragic things will probably come. And even Miriam mentioned that she really believes, with being in Iran and listening to the news, the way they talk about our nation, knowing that they have everything in place, that she really, really suspects something very, 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 very not good is going to happen around September. She said it's not about if something will happen, it's imminent. And so we really want to be in a place to handle this by knowing God is shining on us no matter what's going on. Mm-hmm. Number 8. Offer a random compliment. If if you're not really good at compliments, then go and Google it and learn how to give a compliment. Serious, you have to learn how to do these things. If your mama didn't teach you, you have to learn. But offer a compliment. You know, a guy says, wow, what a great tread you have, or what, I don't know what you guys say when somebody has a nice car.
Nice set of wheels.
There you go.
Nice ride.
Nice ride.
Anyway, I'm just thinking of the treads on the wheels, so I had part of it right.
A little bit lower than that. That's why the girls smile more.
I know.
I will say that being married to John, I've learned to laugh at myself.
Listen,
we're going to have fun this week, Patty. That's just the beginning.
Yeah. I like that.
But anyway, I don't think like a guy, so you can tell. But anyway, that's why I ask Rich a lot of guy things and John a lot of guy things. That's okay. That's humbling yourself, right? So. But give a sincere compliment to somebody. The meal was great. And be specific. Generic compliments are not as valuable as a very specific, sincere compliment. And I learned this from Mary Kay. She said, if you're going to say, oh, it was very nice of you, be specific about it. Be as specific as you can. I sent somebody on Facebook my happy cup. I know they've been going through some things, and I said, I'm sending you a smile because you give me so many of your smiles. They have just an amazing smile, and they give them so freely. Number 9, ask people their name. If you're in a study and you don't know people, excuse me, what's your name? And if you think you're going to forget, what really helps is to say, my name's Henry, what's yours? And get you out of the way. Because a lot of people, you know, women in the mirror, you have to take care of yourself so you think about yourself. But to get to know people, it's good to ask their name. Number 10 is back to the touch. Shake hands, hug, or gently touch the hand is a very, very powerful experience. And I've learned, because I work with people so much, that, you know, some people you can embrace and some people that is way too much. Look at the guy with the free hugs. You know, they want somebody that probably wasn't a big hugger wanted to stop them. And I think it was the police, right? Mm-hmm. But did you notice in the clip there was one police person that got a hug?
Yeah.
And I understand they're out on duty and they probably have to watch their back, but who knows? Maybe that person really needed it that day. Number 11. I guess there's only 10. The stickers I gave you, I encourage you to put a sticker by your mirror. Remind yourself, am I even thinking happy? You know, there's just something about that this little happy face. Whoever created it, they did a really good job, because this thing has been around for a long time.
It's been around for years. Mm-hmm.
And it just has such a pleasing smile. I mean, what does that do to you?
I've got one of those cups in my cupboard.
Do you?
In my kitchen.
Yeah. I know. Maureen comes over here. That's the cup she said she retrieves. It was so cute. And I saw on Facebook, she goes, that's my mug. But we really want to touch people's lives. Praise the Lord. Father, we just thank you that you are shining down on us. You are smiling because you love us. And I thank you, Lord, for taking your word and retrieving it and continuing to blow on it in their hearts, in my heart, as we go about every day in our homes. I thank you for more happiness in our homes, more happiness on the job, Lord, where some have not ever even cracked a smile at work. I ask that you would remind them. I ask that you would help the men, Lord, that have been in many respects labeled and plagued by the world and the world's way and really their adversary, to mature many times as a cranky old man because they were not freed to really express your joy, your pleasure in their lives. Help them, Lord. Help the men here to be the beginning of a real change in people's lives. And I thank you, Lord, that you will do it with the greatest of integrity, the greatest of ease. And I thank you that you will be lowering blood pressures in people's lives, causing, Father, pain to be dispersed because they know that you are shining down on them. You are revealing this truth to them. I thank you for the people, Lord, that will be touched by our faces, by your spirit in our lives, that will be radiating your life, especially to the soldiers and their families. Lord, those that we don't even know maybe what has happened, but you prepare us for the right response, the right things that we need to do in their lives, the veterans that need to be honored, that you would revive them, Lord. Those that are about to leave their families, that you would bring such joy in their hearts that they will see them again, that their relatives do know you, they do have a relationship with you, that they will be okay because you will be there with them. I thank you, Lord, should you open that door to put me on the radio, that you will give me the life of your spirit through the airwaves to those parts of Alaska that need to hear. They need to have more of the ore of God, the light and revelation of your spirit in their lives. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for the healings that will take place through these acts, Lord, of kindness to humanity. And I thank you, Lord, that as every person here gives, that you would begin to open the windows of heaven and pour them out a blessing, that there is not even room enough, that they will experience your joy unspeakable, full of glory. I thank you for that. We thank you for John. We thank you for the work and labor of love that he has put in every single part of this meal. I treasure him, Lord, and I thank you that you will keep him while I'm away, and that you will keep me and Patty and Rich while we are parted to do your work, that your hand will be upon the CPAC meeting here, that you will use these two men as mighty men of valor, and that you'll bring the people that need to come to these meetings. We praise you for it. We praise you, Jesus. Praise you. I thank you for every person here, Lord. I thank you for their faces. I thank you for just their presence here. May they know how important and treasured they are in my life. And we give you all of the glory for this, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. How am I, honey? Oh, is it ready? Okay. Praise God.